out to another exciting episode of Extra Featured Interview. Today I have a guest to follow me, which always makes me excited when they want to come on the show, and I have to chase them. I have a fabulous filmmaker, Nancy Ferguson. Her film, Sue, is all about her mother. We're going to get into it. Welcome to the show.
Hello. It's good to be here.
I got to start. You have one of the most fascinating mothers I've ever seen on film. Is that how this all started?
So it started actually when my dad died at 94. My mom was also 94. For 3 years from her age 94 to 97, she told me she wanted to meet someone. And finally at age 87, and I kept telling people I should do an online profile for her. And they thought I was crazy. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do an online profile for her and I'm going to start filming it. And I did. And so then you can see what happened, from the film, from that beginning moment that I decided to embark on that journey with my mom.
Well, I have so many questions because I think there's stuff we're missing. Now, you did create a profile. You do walk us through that, the film, so we don't have to go over that. My question is, she does meet a fellow, which we'll get to later. Now, were there other people she met that we never filmed, or were they filmed and cut?
Actually, there were people on the site. You know, I was vetting everything, and I sort of did a little check-in with a few people, and no one seemed right. And he was the first one that seemed right in the first date, and it was a miracle from the get-go.
So I guess
a home run.
How did you know he was legit? I mean, I've never online dated, so you're going to have to help me out a bit.
Yeah, I never had online dated before either. So I'm very instinctual. So we talked on the phone. You know, we started emailing. So I first sort of got a sense of him that way on that email on the site. And then we started talking on the phone. And he was very much a gentleman. And I had to go to New York for one of my other documentaries, Robert Williams' Mr. Bitchin', and which is a feature doc. And I told him I'd have to, you know, put this together when I came back because, you know, I would want to be there. He said, absolutely, I'd want you to be there. And I said, by the way, I'm a filmmaker. Is it okay if I film this? And he was all in on that too.
So was that receptive of you then as a filmmaker saying, hey, this guy's good for my mom. He knows I'm a filmmaker. He's okay with me filming him. Did that make you feel better having him introduced to your mom?
You know, I actually, that was just an added plus that he was fine with the, you know, filmmaking. If he would have said, no, I really don't, you know, wouldn't feel comfortable about it, I would have had him meet my mom because I've had such a strong feeling about him. But when he said he didn't mind at all, I was like, great, this is so great. But I just had a really good sense about him. He just was really easy to talk to. He seemed very sincere. He seemed very respectful, and he really wanted me to be there, and he thought that would be appropriate, and he had no problem with the filming. So, you know, it worked out really well.
Now, I do like to always ask, how much is on the camera crew? I mean, you do a lot of tight shots. Like in the restaurant, I know it's a restaurant. You can't really set that up in your documentary, so you can't rent the restaurant. How many people are on the crew? Obviously, you.
Right. So usually, you know, it started out, you kind of saw in that one shot where she's like, I'm Sue Ferguson. You saw how there was, let's see, there was a crew of one, two, three of us. No, one, two, three, four of us. Four of us for the very first shot. For the restaurant, there was three of us. Usually it was geared around that three or four people. And sometimes it was just me.
Okay. My question is, being a documentary filmmaker, I mean, your mom is your mom. So you can control the environment a little more. You're not really following somebody homeless around or something that's a little more random. Do you do any lighting or anything, or you just trust your instincts on?
So the first setup, you know, when we did her, we did a tiny, really minimal, but just a tiny bit of lighting. You know, I have a tiny bit of lighting on me now, you know, a little goes a long way, but a lot of it, you know, sometimes I was in her home and the natural light was really great. It was no problem. whenever we were outside, when we were shooting in locations like the restaurant, we didn't bring any external lights. We just were, you know, we just went in and we did it really on the fly. I would say, yeah, the same when we were inside at any of the indoor places like the rec center and all that. It was all natural lighting. There was, for the Halloween shoot, we may have had like, you know, one external, that camera person might have had one a little bit for a few shots, but minimal lighting. We were really using a lot of natural light and as needed, just very little additional.
Now, these are some questions I just want to ask Jennifer about your mom. It's just, she's lovely. I'm not worried about that. She is so active, I think, in her brain. Now, you've known her for obviously your whole life. Has she ever slowed down? Like, even at 97 in this film, she is going.
She's going. I mean, what's so interesting about my mom is she's now 103 and a half.
Okay, I didn't want to ask if she was still alive. I'm like, don't ask that.
She's still with us. She's
good to hear.
I just spoke to her, you know, before, because we talk every night. I see her about twice a week, but we talk every night on FaceTime because the boyfriend's 10 years younger. He has an iPhone. He has an iPhone 14. I only have 10.
93?
Yep.
Oh, wow. And he looks great, too.
I know. He's incredible. So so I talk to her every night on FaceTime, no matter whether I see her or not. But so I would say, you know, after 100, you saw her up into 100.
And yes.
She was doing really well. I would say now, you know, it's interesting because since COVID, her life stopped in terms of going out. And I would say, you know, decline happened, but it meant mentally, but she's still funny and sharp. Like you saw that part of her. She knows me and she says funny things. Like every night she tells me, oh, you're so beautiful. You're my beautiful daughter. I'm sure the guys are lining up for you. And I want you to tell them one at a time, you know, and she still says funny things and she's just so positive and loving. And she really is quite active, but it's just her reality is much more limited. And I think also the staying in, and she got very used to this very insulated world. I mean, we all got a little strange after COVID, you know, but I think that also added to the, you know, limiting her reality more. So she's very much aware of things and very with it on a certain level. It's just her, it's much more limited and there's definite decline there, but she still can be very sharp and funny and just so loving and, you know, adorable. But she's funny. She always has this great sense of humor.
Now, when you were discussing with your mom about dating, did you discuss it with other people before you even went further?
You know, I did a little bit. I really didn't do it too much because, you know, like my best friend just thought I was crazy at my mom's age, you know, embarking on that. And I was like, you know, so I kind of like sort of had such a good, strong feeling about it that I just sort of went with it. And then, of course, my little filmmaking team, my editor and people I had on board to shoot with me, they thought it was a great idea. So some people around me, I did share it with people that were really close with me.
So when you were doing this, I'm just thinking, like, people seem so ecstatic in the film that they're dating. Now, were there outside people you wanted to interview, or you just said, no, I'm going to keep this focus on my mom? Because I really think you could have expanded your documentary a bit there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that. I mean, in the beginning, I thought I would do a much, and I did shoot a lot more footage, and there were a lot more interviews of people. But it just seemed to work out in the end to do a short and have it really sort of jam-packed with this sort of message and this through line and this love. I do have some interesting outtakes, and you know, like at the birthday parties, a lot of people got interviewed more, and there was good stories, you know, with my mom's neighbors and her goddaughter, you know, and different stories about her. But it just seemed to work as a short and have this real movement, and you know, it could have branched out quite a bit, but I sort of decided to kind of keep it that way. It just sort of turned out that way.
Now, I noticed your mom had a huge love of music. Mm-hmm. Now, is that continued through her whole life? I mean, she loves to dance.
Yeah, she loves to dance. She can't really dance anymore, but she always loved to dance. And me and my brother used to laugh so much. You know, when she used to do the Lindy Hop, we just thought that was the funniest dance ever. We get her to do that one. But then she also, like to this day, will just start breaking into song. And she sometimes, when she sees me on FaceTime, just makes up songs and she just starts singing to me. And the You Are Meant For Me songs, you know, we always sing a lot. And she, you know, she sings it with Jim. And that music really stays with her. She loves music.
Now, your other love is your hockey, according to your mom. Is hockey really her favorite sport?
It really is. I mean, as a child, my dad and my brother loved it, but my dad especially. And so I used to go with my father to, you know, hockey games as a kid. And it was pretty exciting, like seeing those giant guys on the ice and skating around. It was really fast. And I really didn't care for sports so much, but it was one of the bonding things we did. My mom really connected with my dad too, watching that. And she just was a huge Kings fan. And she got so excited by it. When even like after my dad was no longer there, I scheduled all her Kings fan, you know, Kings games, you know, and she knew she would watch them, and I would talk to her about them, and she'd be watching. She goes, "Oh, it's so exciting!" Especially like they won the Stanley Cup twice, and she's like, "This is so exciting." Her heart would really beat. She just loved them, and as you know, she said Kopitar is her favorite player. She just always
she really did.
Loved. She loves him.
He's still on there.
I took her to a game and she got a signed hockey puck from him, not personally, but he signed it and then they gave it to us in the stands. So
that's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. It is her favorite sport.
A flower in your mom's hair at one point. Whose idea was that? Was you adding an aesthetic for your shot, or is that something your mom normally does?
Normally does. She has a whole collection of them, and you might even notice that they're like different ones at different times. So she has a collection of them, and it's a little signature thing. Like even talking to her today, if her hair's up or whatever, a lot of times she has those little clip-on flowers in her hair. So she, you know, my mom grew up, as you know, in Greenwich Village. And even though she was from a poor Italian family, they still had so much style in New York, and it was so fashionable, you know, especially back then. It was still like, you know, you can be not have money, but you could always have your gloves and your hats and be so stylish. And I think she just has maintained that real fashion sense her whole life of really liking to look really good. No matter, she's always saying, "Oh, you look so nice." And she's always like, "How do you like what I'm wearing?" You know, like to this day, "Do you like this?" You know, it really matters to her.
Okay. So I'm going to go back. How many months did you look for Jim, or how many months and what sites?
So the site is called Our Time. I used that one. I may have tried a little bit of Match, but I sort of just focused on this one, Our Time, that's supposed to be for people that are a little bit older. I think, you know, maybe 60 or above. And I would say probably a good, maybe 3 to 4 months before he showed up. And I was kind of thinking for a while, there was a couple and I was like, I don't know. And then there was one that I sort of talked to, but he was like, they weren't so close either. There was one that was in Santa Barbara, we're in Los Angeles. And then there was, I was starting to think like, oh, this may not work out. But I also was thinking, because my mom, it didn't matter where we went, she was always a flirt. She was always like, you know, I would buy her a new pair of earrings and she'd say, "I'm going to put on these earrings and maybe I'll meet a new man." And I'll be like,
wow.
It's just always, she really wanted to meet someone. And if we really think about manifesting, you know, as much as I facilitated this, my mom was focused on it. So she was like all about it. And, you know, to this day, she really does like to flirt with everyone. So she keeps that going.
So my next question is, how many dates did you accompany your mom? So you said, okay, I'm comfortable. You and Jim should go out without me.
So the second date, I knew where they were going. And I There is a little bit of footage of it, but it's that Tam O'Shanter date in the film. And so I snuck in the restaurant and took some, you know, footage. It was kind of dark, so I mostly used stills for that part. But then I got them coming out, and then I got them driving off, and then I shot them at home. That, so I was kind of there for that one. It was like going so well, second day, but I set it up so that they would have that on their own because he drove. He was 10 years younger. He drove and he picked her up. And then I was the spy, and then I sort of let them have their little time together. I always facilitated once, you know, obviously if it was, he was in Glendale, so Glendale to Atwater was very close, but I always facilitated them if they were, you know, if we were, you know, let's go to the theater or something more special, then I would drive, you know, and if it was at nighttime, if it was anything else like that, you know, I sort of facilitated a few, obviously the trips to Mexico that we did a couple of times. So, I sort of, you know, my mom was an adult, you know, my parental role was sort of, I think sort of off, and then, you know, I had her on her way.
So, I'm sorry, I'm just laughing.
I know, it's wild, right? I mean, it really was a miracle. I call it a mini miracle, but, you know, oddly, I didn't really know at the time that I was going to have to go online. So it became really interesting that during the course of the film, you know, towards the end, that I actually didn't go online in the beginning, but I actually had to use my mom as my own inspiration.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So it was like, it could have gone on this chapter, but she's quite an inspiration for so many people and ended up being one for me too.
Does your mom have a secret talent that we don't know about, we see in the film?
Okay. Let's see. A secret talent. I think that her biggest talents are revealed in the film, just her generosity of spirit, her love of people, her love of life. But, you know, she can make some really good Italian meals, some good, you know, family recipes of just, or in her day, she doesn't really cook anymore, but she did, you know, cook a good spaghetti, and, you know, I'm fairly vegan now, but, you know, she did cook a good spaghetti and meatball in her day and some good Italian dishes. Let me think if there's anything else that she's applied herself to that's sort of a secret talent.
Well, I would argue your mother, when she comes into a room, makes everybody happy.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that in every scene. Everybody loves your mom.
Yeah. And, you know, and I, you know, that's why I ended up sort of the movie being sort of a shorter film, right? Because it's just this spirit and this message of love. And it just becomes so like overwhelming, you know, this like beam of light. And you don't need to go through too many things like to get there, or like you don't need to have these obstacles and things that you go through in order to have a good film, you know, because it was like so clear. The story was just so miraculous and pure and great. So, and that's, you know, as a filmmaker, especially in documentaries, but the film sometimes starts to reveal itself to you. You know, you have a trajectory and then it starts coming back to you in a way where, oh yeah, this is how it's making sense now. And I think that that's absolutely right. It's just, you know, her spirit is one that, you know, to this day, I cannot believe that I talk to her every day. And it's just so much love coming from her to me that it's remarkable. And how she'll say, you know, have a good life. I want you to be happy and I want all your dreams to come through. I mean, this is just what she has to say every day. You know, it's just, that's what she does. And if she, someone comes and she sort of remembers them, but she says like, oh, you know, the same thing. She really wants good things for them. And thank you so much for being here. I love, please come anytime and spend the night, you know. And like, as I was growing up, we always had strays, you know, there's people, if they didn't have, you know, proper parents or they had immigrant parents and they didn't speak English. My mom were always like, and dad were always there for our, like all the, you know, kids in the neighborhood that needed to have that extra family feeling. So yeah, that's a secret weapon for sure. Right.
I do want to touch on Jim. He does have a touching scene in the film. I know people, yes. We're talking about your mom a lot, but yes. You do take about 5 to 7 minutes and touch on Jim, which I thought was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you know what scene I'm talking about, the tea leaf scene. Yes. I just thought it was great. Now, did you feel your film needed that just to give us some depth on him?
I sort of wanted to embark on a day with Jim alone, you know, without my mom, just to sort of give a little perspective from him coming into the situation. And it came to me when he did that tea leaf scenario when I was in Mexico. And then it came again, you know, when we did the Halloween scene, that would be really great. A situation, you know, for him to read my tea leaves. And, you know, we found a park, that park is really close to where he lives. So it just organically really made sense. And it became, as you saw, like a really beautiful sort of took you a little bit outside into something else. And it is another world. So it becomes like a gym scene and another world. So it has, I think, that double entity of it really being something, as you said, a little moment with Jim, and it created a different environment, look, feel, everything.
Okay. Was the plan always to end the film at the 100th birthday party?
Well, you know, at 97, you don't know how long you're going to go with someone, right? So I can't say I ever had that plan, but there were some times where it was like, oh my God, we might need to do a wedding, you know, or something like that. But it just started to, after my mom had a heart attack and a fall, you know, you really didn't know. I mean, that was 3.5 years ago. They said she had 2 weeks to live. You know, I didn't put too much doom and gloom in the film, but
none.
It, you know, because it was so outrageous that you know, I did say, this is you after a heart attack and a fall. And you could see how she was just like, so the rebound was insane. Because we thought, there's so many times I say my mom is like a cat with her 9 lives. But so it just started to make sense then with the 100th that was starting to be sort of a culmination point. Because also her, you know, her ability to, you know, we really didn't know what was going to happen at that point. I didn't know how much I wanted to go into any of that other scenario too. Like if we did start to go into things with her leaving us or anything. So it seemed just like a, you know, and she had that, all that happened with the city and the recognition, that it seemed like a great ending.
But I would argue your film doesn't end there, because I don't know if most people watch the extra credit scene that you snuck in.
That's true. No, it's true. I think the few times that I have seen the film with an audience, of course, they've been at film festivals or, you know, at the theater when I've gone, I have seen people see that extra credit scene.
Okay, so good.
I'm a real believer in, you know, whenever I go to a screening or anything, I'm like, I want to stay to the end. I always do. Not everyone wants to, and I kind of force a lot of people that are with me, because I really know what it takes to do a movie. And if I don't read every credit, I want to be there and be present for all those people that did so much. And I try to read everything as much as I can. And there's like little things you learn at the ending, like, oh, that was shot there, or thank you to that person, or that, you know, or like just the music, or I'm a firm believer in that. So hopefully a lot of people like yourself do get to see it to the very end.
Okay. I'm going to be sneaky here. You're going to have your 3 fun questions and 1 bonus question. It's only concerning you and not your film, but I think okay. You have an idea of what I'm going to discuss.
No, I don't.
Oh, good. I love it then. Your favorite film, because it's your first time on the show.
My all-time favorite film?
If you have one.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm like a big film buff, but if I have to say a film that probably was the most influential at the earliest point in time in my life, I'd have to say Wizard of Oz.
Which is nothing wrong with that. a subject you want to film about, but you haven't had time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. There's a couple of projects, but there is a girl that I have met in the last couple of years that is a really interesting artist. And by day, she's she was, when I first met her, by job occupation, a submissive. She's sort of a dom now, but she's this beautiful girl. And this combination of, you know, her, she just had a piece. She makes hot tubs. Some of her artwork are hot tubs. And sometimes she does installation pieces of herself. It's very, some of her art's very interesting. She went to Art Center and she just had a piece at the Hammer. So here's a girl, she's in a museum and her job is this really interesting job. And if you put in the middle of that, she has, if you just met her, her and her boyfriend, they're just lovely. And this couple and monogamous and, you know, I don't want to say any of us are normal. Who's normal anymore, right? But you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you didn't know this other part, and I just find that so interesting. And I've met some of the girls that she's, you know, worked with because they've showed up at some of the art openings and stuff that I've gone to. And I'd like to explore shooting her. I think it's a really interesting dynamic going on, you know, on in there.
Okay. If you weren't a filmmaker, I think that's awesome. I'll look forward to it. If you weren't a filmmaker, what would you be doing?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I have had a lot of previous careers, but would I do any of those ones? You know, I got a degree in art, and I think there is always in my heart this sort of avant-garde dance theater performance art self. I probably in a heartbeat, if someone said, "Hey, Nancy, do you want to do a piece about da 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 in the middle of da da da?" Probably I'm in. You know, like I still have like these. My roots are still in. I have a lot of. I like interesting being able to perform. I do love acting as well on a traditional side. So I know that's kind of related. If you want me to throw in something that I would do that would be totally different than those.
Sure. Let's hear it.
I know what it would be. I don't know which one of all of them, but if there was a job or a way I could just either roll around in the mud with baby elephants, I would be there every day.
Fair enough.
Anything animal related, you know, dolphins, lion, you know, anywhere I could go as far away from people. If I could be, you know, one-on-one helping, rehabbing anything, I'm in love with animals. So that would be, you know, with the monkeys, I would be gorillas in the mist, all of that. So that probably would be my super one. If I could just do something I wanted and you'd plant me there and I was doing it, I would be so happy.
Okay, my last question is about Mystery Men.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't think I did my research, did you?
Oh, no, I did think you did your research, but you never know. I have had the most interesting ones out of all of them. Like, I never know which one someone's going to pick. And, you know, of course, David Lynch is a big one. So, you know.
I'm not a Lynch fan, but I love Mystery Men, so I had to ask.
So I get that, you know, people are like, do the research, and that's my big questions usually all the time.
Mystery Men for me.
I wasn't really sure, but, you know, people have their own, okay, Mystery Men, let's hear about it.
How was working on Mystery Men? I just want to know.
Okay, so, you know, so you saw my opening scene. Did you know I'm, like, just in the opening scene?
Right? Yes, it's been years since I've seen it, but right. I'm like, I ask.
Okay, so the story behind Mystery Men was, at the time, my husband was Mark Mothersbaugh Devo. I don't know how much you researched about me.
No, I didn't go that, but I guess I should have. I will look.
I know
it up
you didn't
after.
Do the deep dive. So
I
Mark,
I didn't need to. It's a film on Sue. I don't need to go that deep.
That's true. But some, you don't know. I have like this one person that interviewed me. I can't believe the things he collected. It was like he was like finding things I've never seen and did. I was like, wow. So I never know. So you know, people can be like real film buffs and they can go down roads. So Mystery Men. So Mark, if I recall it correctly, well, anyway, he did some of the music, I guess, for Mystery Men. Definitely that opening number. And then we kind of created a whole thing where the two of us was in that opening scene together. And, it, you know, it was really wild and fun opening scene. And he did the music for it. So that was how that whole thing came about and worked with the, you know, we worked with the director and sort of creating that scene with Mark and myself and the music and the whole extravaganza of how it sort of came to be. It was really fun.
I could have done a deep dive, but we would take it away from Sue. So I really was not going to push it. That's
well,
why
now,
that was
now
your
now
last
that you
question.
You know a few things and you want to explore, you can go in. And if you want to come back and ask me anything
I will.
About anything else, I'm happy okay. to do it.
Before you go, tell everybody where they can find this lovely film.
Okay. So, right. I mean, it just was in the theater for a week. I'm throwing, you know, Sue into the, a possibility for Oscar. It's now up for Oscar for your consideration in the documentary short. As soon as, you know, we see what happens with that, you know, I am going to look for to see if there can be some kind of little distribution for Sue. So keep your ears and eyes open for the possibility of Sue being able to be seen in the world soon.
Thank you for your time and have a great night.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye.